next. News and weather is at 6.
Kia ora, Ra, Evie. Former elite rugby players are up to 15 times more likely to suffer from some degenerative brain disorders than other people, according to a new study. Researchers from Glasgow University and Queen Elizabeth University Hospital looked at more than 400 Scottish former internationals, comparing them to about 1,200 members of the public. The elevated risk of brain disease for the elite rugby players was different for different conditions. They had more than twice the dementia rates of other people, and for motor neuron diseases it was 15 times greater, and that's regardless of what position the players had played in. Now, here to discuss the implications is Dr. Helen Murray from the Auckland University Centre for Brain Research. Kia ora, Doctor. Well, this, I suppose, confirms suspicions in other studies, so how worried should we be about it?
Kia ora. Yes, I think this research really does support findings from other sports that show there is an increased risk of developing dementia for contact sport athletes and for people who are experiencing repetitive head injury. So I think it really just does reinforce what we currently know and really emphasises that we need to be, you know, proactive about doing something about it.
Can rugby actually be played safely when it comes to brain disease?
Well, I think there is an element of risk in all things that we do in life, and we really need to understand the risk and be able to mitigate it. We know that with these diseases, it's not just those concussive injuries that are the ones to worry about, although, of course, they are important, but lots of these small, potentially asymptomatic head impacts that we can encounter during trainings can actually build up over time and be problematic as well. And I think that's where we can actually start to make some changes to considering how we train in contact sport. And that's going to be sport specific, I think, as to how we can actually reduce the risk.
So, yeah, the research suggests that we do need more mitigation and risk management while more research is done. So do you think it literally should be a game changer for rugby, this research?
Yeah, I think, you know, definitely for rugby, but also for every other sport as well, that this is something that it is increasing the risk of these diseases, which are catastrophic for people to and their families to deal with. So I think this is just really highlighting that we need to find ways to reduce head injury, and we need to find ways to manage it. And I don't necessarily know if we have those answers as to what needs to be done, but I think, you know, it definitely takes a looking at the sport and looking at our culture around how we think about head injuries as athletes and go, okay, well, what can we do and what's going to be most effective?
I was really interested. Parkinson's and dementia, well, they're associated with NOX, right? You know, we talk about concussions, and then you talked about those micro NOX or incidents. What is the link with motor neuron disease? Because that was significantly higher risk in these rugby players.
Yes, and we have seen reports of this as well in other situations. We know there's studies overseas about military participation and motor neuron disease as well. We really don't understand exactly what's happening in a head injury that's predisposing to these conditions or why motor neuron disease. And this is really why we need to be actually looking at the brain tissue of people who have these disorders to try and understand what changes are happening and why they're increasing the risk of specific types of dementia more than others. We really don't understand yet why that's actually happening.
So these weren't professional players. Yep, they were elite, but not professional. And there was no difference in the risk factors according to the position they play. So, I mean, what is the significance of that? Does that mean we need to be looking at every grade of rugby and other contact sports?
Yes. So with this is a really interesting study because rugby only went professional in 1995, and this study looked at people who were born as early as 1900. So a lot of the players in the study, as you say, would have been amateur, but playing at a very high level. And I think that really highlights that this, although we have a lot of high-profile professional athletes that are talking about this, this isn't just something that affects professional athletes. It's something that affects anyone who is exposed to repetitive head injury. And so these findings are applicable across many sports and across many levels of sport. And so it really sort of starts at not just looking at the professional, the elite, but also at the grassroots sport and understanding, you know, what things can we do there to reduce head injury? You know, can we reduce the tackle rate or the contact training for young children to reduce their impact over a long period of time?
What about the women's game? Because obviously this focused on male players, right? And there's increasing interest from women playing rugby. We've got the World Cup coming up. Do we know about women playing rugby?
Well, this is an area that I think really needs some focus for future research. Is we just really don't have the data on female athletes, and I think a lot of that is because female athletes having careers in sports like rugby is relatively recent in terms of data collection, and so over time we just haven't had that kind of data being collected, and so we don't know. And I don't think we know necessarily whether these findings are going to transfer directly to women, although it's likely that repetitive injury is bad regardless of gender. But we need to understand these things to understand that, do women have a higher risk? We just don't know. And so that comes down to getting this data so that we can do that. But I don't think we should be waiting for the data. I think we should be trying to act now to reduce head injury.
Really interesting to talk to you. Thank you for joining us. That's Dr. Helen Murray, who's from the Auckland University Centre for Brain Research. It is 12 minutes to 6. Kia mo tunu.